Hey everybody, I'm here to spread the word about the benefit being held for three-time cancer fighter Sid Destructo Slimmer. Sunday, April 23rd from 4 to midnight at the Archive in Soulard. The extravaganza is hosted by the one and only Clownvis Presley, as some of St. Louis' best acts perform their many talents. Michelle Minx of the Michelle Minx Academy of Pole Dance, comedian Andrew Frank, fire breather Carson Kelly, and drag performers Mary Shino and Lexi San Diego, with sideshow performer Travis Detritus, as well as music by the Trip Daddies, the Well Hungarians, and an open mic at the end of the night. Also, the triumphant return of Sid and Lexi's band Candy Coated Evil. Door prizes, raffles, incredible silent and live auction items, and special guests along the way. $10 suggests the door to help Sid pay for her ever-growing minimally insured bills and all the support until she can ring that bell at Siteman. This will be an event you will not want to miss. Sunday, April 23rd, 4 to midnight, or until they kick us out at Archive Soulard. Check Facebook for further details.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out there at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar. Shares a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come get some tacos, some cold drinks, and hang out and watch one of your favorite bands in the studio recording, or record your own stuff over there. So reach out to GaslightSTL.com, see how you can make that happen. They got a lot of really cool events coming up, including Carter Holsey on Sunday, March 26th. And every Wednesday night, they have a new series called Count It. It's more emo rock stuff from a DJ set from Tyler of Tear Out the Heart. March 29th. And Thursday, March 30th, come over for Unplugged by Jack, including sets from Manus Brothers, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, and Chris Sloan. And then the big one, on April 8th, they're putting together a collective release party for all these bands that have been recording Gaslight over the last year. They're all putting out their new material. We got new albums from Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, Miss Molly Sims, Fourth City Rag, now just Fourth City, actually, and Cara Louise Band and Culprit Manifest. So all new material from all five bands. All five will be performing live April 8th at the Ready Room. So come over and check out that party. Again, all details on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to follow along and visit GaslightSTL.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Yo, this is ATG from Discrepancies, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
But it didn't matter, 'cause
When I said I loved you, I fucking meant it. When you walked out and closed the door, did you find what you were looking for? Did he treat you better? Did he love you more? Did he fulfill all your fantasies? You wanna talk? Let's talk. Was he more of a man than me? You here with me, so I didn't think so. But yo, you gotta go.
In my place, I'm a broken hearted.
Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Discrepancies. Welcome back to the show, yes, guys.
Sir. I didn't know if we could talk yet, but
yeah.
I was like, it's quiet knocking, I don't know what to say or do, but we live.
We'll do it live.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
But yeah, I'm excited because we got to hang a while back, right before you guys were releasing this album. But yeah. I believe, if my memory serves right, we didn't really get to play much of the album at all because you guys were still waiting on mastering at the moment.
Yeah.
And because it was kind of all right down to the wire with the release party, getting everything out on time and stuff. But I don't know if I even got to listen to the record before we recorded that, but I have heard it now. And so I was like,
garbage.
Yeah, definitely garbage. Insert
poop emoji.
Yeah.
One at it.
And the last time we recorded, this guy over here was not involved in the picture yet.
Better times.
So we have for official announcement for this show. I mean, it's been announced everywhere else, and obviously, but your newest member, Fat Beats over here.
Yeah.
There you go. See, you gotta be on it, man.
Dynamite dropping.
Right.
But anyway, I was excited to kind of get to hang again with you guys, and again with having Fat Beats with us here, and talk about this new record, and we got the Road to Point Fest finals coming up.
Mm-hmm.
How's that been going for you guys? You guys won your last round and advanced to the finals now. So,
yeah.
You guys having a good time?
So far, yeah. We actually competed in this our first year as a band, and we made it to the finals then. But we were still very amateur. It was probably our third or fourth show, so we weren't really solid on our live set. And
Garrett was our drummer at the point.
And I was the drummer, so it was garbage. I don't even know what songs we were playing, honestly. but I remember when we lost, we were pretty bummed that we were kind of thinking that we probably weren't going to do it again. And then this year, we kind of all took a vote and just said, let's do it. And so far, it's been a blast. This year, what were you saying the other day about the last show? Wasn't it a big turnout or something?
The attendance record.
Apparently, I think it was if I didn't hear it wrong, it was over 600 people through the door or something.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And I do remember thinking, wow, there's this many people in Pops for a local show?
Yeah.
Sure. That was nuts.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was you guys and Monsters, right? Was that the same night?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Monster Eats Manhattan.
Nothing Set in Stone.
It was a great bill, and it was a lot of fun. And, of course, so it was nice to see people are turning out for those shows. Especially on a Friday, Saturday night in St. Louis when there's a lot going on. They're out supporting local rock here.
Yeah.
It's
Skyline and Ruins was really good that night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All the bands were good.
Yeah, they were. It was a good show.
Yeah, I was kind of talking a bit about it earlier, how, some years kind of fluctuate, some more talented, lineups than others or whatever it seems like. But It seems like we have a lot of bands come out to play this year, and I mean, I'm super pumped for this finals. It's gonna be a wild party.
Got the return of Hollow Point Heroes coming.
Man, I'm still getting over this allergy stuff. I apologize.
Oh, you're good.
Coughing.
There's a lot of new bands that have never done it before.
Yeah,
too, which is I think awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if in our outlines, I don't know if they've done it, but they just recently passed their round and moving on.
They had a good show.
Yeah.
They did do a really good job.
And my friends Gorilla Theory.
Yep, they were really good, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they had great stage presence and everything. Just sounded, just good time.
Yeah.
Just couldn't stop vibing and moving. And my girl liked it. That's always a good sign.
Yeah.
She always hates my stuff, so.
We all do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll get back. Hold on.
It's too late. The moment's over.
That's why Garrett needs the click track. Droppings ain't always on time.
So we got, you guys will be in the finals now with, that'll be on April 28th over at Pops.
Yes.
Yep.
And you guys have tickets to sell.
Yeah.
That we do.
So reach out to your favorite band member and get yourself one of those.
We all know who that is.
Yeah.
Not Edison, because he didn't sell any tickets.
Oh,
come on, Steve. They're all going to be so delayed. Could you, like, push those forward? All
right.
Steve's not paying attention.
Sorry. I got to press a button to come on.
See, this band's a little slow. This thing's called technology. And,
Do we know who's all on that show with you guys?
There's still a lot TBA because that's like the grand finals. So I think there's still two more finals rounds to go through.
There's one more final.
Oh, one more final.
But there's another like first round that our friends in Trust Fall are playing.
So there's still two more because they're going
to
have.
They're going to go to a finals with the people that just won.
Okay. Yeah. So there's only one more.
It's a weird like bracket, but yeah.
So, I mean.
So there's six bands so far confirmed for the grand finals. I don't know if they're going to put two or three more on there or what their plan is, but they're going to put a few more on there.
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a big day.
Sure. Well, yeah, good tickets come out to that. You guys also, a couple other shows, but you guys are hitting the road. You guys are going to North Dakota, is that right?
Yeah.
In April 14th and 15th?
Yeah, we're actually going to be up there pretty much that entire weekend. We're kind of hoping to hit Nebraska, I think, either on the way up or on the way back. But our friends at Fivefold, when they went up there, the person that they got in contact with that brought them up reached out to us, because I guess while they were up there, some names were dropped. And so they reached out to us once they got home. And yeah, so we're heading up there. I wish we were going up there at the same time, but... Nonetheless, you know,
yeah,
should be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Definitely, man. Yeah, it's cool to kind of talking to some of the other groups about touring and stuff. I'm guessing you guys rent a van for the weekend, or how do you guys how do you guys get around?
Usually, a nice blacked out van that doesn't fit any equipment
in.
Yeah, usually a nice blacked out Prius.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We sent Antonio last time to pick up.
Get out of here.
Pick up a van. We're picturing like a 12, 15 passenger. He comes back out with like a murdered Dodge Caravan.
Black. Tinted out.
Hey, yeah. Well, it was fresh, though.
We didn't bring any gear.
We were fresh out of gear for that.
Whatever.
Yeah, I remember seeing some pictures and some video online after some of your guys' various shenanigans.
Yeah,
it gets ridiculous.
While on the road,
we try to do the rentals, just because ultimately, like, if you're only doing a couple days, like weekend runs and the weekend warrior stuff, it's ultimately cheaper for us to do it that way, because we don't have to buy insurance and stuff like that. You don't have to pay all those monthly bills, all the extra stuff. So it's a lot easier to do it that way. And plus, like, then when Steve's driving, we don't have to be nervous about the car being destroyed. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, excuse me?
Somebody else is.
what
was it? What were you saying last time? We're going to have to put it in neutral on the highway?
Oh, no. Okay. So where were we? Wichita.
Coming back from it.
Yeah, gross. Anyway.
Oh, so wrong. Good sorry time. For anybody in Wichita.
Yeah, sorry for the Wichita listeners.
Rude.
Anyway, so we're on the way back, and most of that drive through Kansas is there's nothing. It's just road, no exits, nothing. Well, somebody didn't put gas in the van when we left. Oh, we'll make it to the next exit.
We had like 25 miles in the tank.
Yeah, and we had about 50 to the next exit with a gas station. So
there was no sign. Why is there never a sign that says like this far until the next gas station?
I don't know. It should be a- who drives back from Kansas with no gas? I don't know. So anyway, so Garrett's like, "Hey, I don't know if we're gonna make it to the next exit." And I was like, "Well, when we're going down hill or coast, just try putting it in neutral, see if it saves some gas." And Antonio, Addison was passed out. Antonio was on his way to being passed out. And
I was half asleep.
And I was like, just make sure if it's in neutral, you don't slam on your brakes because the tires can lock up and we'll spin out. All out from the peanut gallery in the back. We better fucking not do that.
Like, no, because I was half asleep. I just heard bits and pieces. All I heard was, might not make it. Like, I might not make it. Should I put it in neutral? Yeah, it might lock up, spin out, we all die. Like, that caught my attention. Hey, whatever the fuck you saying, do. No, don't fucking do it. Like,
whatever, man. See, Addison's not laughing because he sleeps through all this good stuff on the road.
You do. You miss all the best stuff. You're always awake for the ride.
And I always fight for the front seat. He's like, I'm sitting in the front. I got this. Yeah. He's like, you got to stay awake the whole time. I'm going to stay awake before his ass hits the seat. Like, he's out.
30 minutes into road trip and chill.
I have some problem in the car. If I'm not driving, and sometimes when I'm driving,
I'm asleep.
On that last trip, you were driving, and I was like, I'm going to try and stay awake, and then I was starting to fall asleep, and then I like, look over, and you're like, swerving back into the road. You all right over there? Yeah, I'm good, dude.
All of us kind of feel a little bit bad, too, about telling each other that they're driving crazy, so just be like, you good? Right. You good? You yeah. good? Like, over and over again, until the person's like, all right, I'll pull over. It's like, thank you. Right. It's like, you awake? You good?
Are I'm
you
fine! Sure? 5 minutes later,
wake up in a ditch, I don't know what happened.
Oh, man.
Gears in the field.
It's scary.
Yeah. What was that, speaking of Addison, falling asleep, what'd you, you just locked up the brakes on the highway or something at one time?
Let's talk about that. Yeah.
What'd you do?
When we were on the way back and scared the shit out of you.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we have been driving all through. We left Wichita at like 1. It wasn't that late. And
In the morning.
Yeah. It was 1 in the morning. It wasn't that late though. And we started heading home and driving all through the night. It got to like probably was like 7 a.m. The sun was just coming up. Addison's sleeping, of course. Garrett's awake, checking because he just got off his shift to drive, and I'm driving. So I'm like, hey, everybody be quiet. I'm going to take a Snapchat. And so we're going to take a Snapchat, ask him to sleep, and he's in the picture. And I slam on the brakes, and I go, oh, shit.
No, you scream fuck at the top of your lungs.
Oh, yeah, I was like, oh, fuck. And then slam on the brakes. Addison barely wakes up, and he's like, what's going on? Garrett about threw his phone out the window.
Oh, it scared the shit out of me. Because he was like, everybody be really quiet. Nobody knows what he's getting ready to do. He just slams and goes, fuck!
Right.
I was just like, fuck what? And I threw my fucking phone in the air. I was like, what the fuck happened?
I didn't even really trip off of it too much. I don't know. I pretty much accept that we might not make it back every time. Like, when we went on the road for those 3
texted
months.
Texted your fiance on the way back. You're just like, just want you to know, it's been great. Yeah, I love
it's
you.
It's been real. It's been real. It's been real. Like, yeah, man.
It sounds like a joke, but it's probably not.
Right.
Every time we on the way home, Steve's like, we just stopped for like, what was the last time? Oh, on the drive home, you go, from Wichita, you go, bro, I just need 1 hour of sleep and I can finish the drive. So I give you 3 hours of sleep. You're like, all right, just one more hour. I'm like, dude, I just drove for 3 hours. You got to drive.
Yeah, you guys need me, I guess. Then I drove from Daytona, Florida area to St. Louis in one stretch besides stopping for gas. Like,
wow.
14-hour haul. Like,
dang, we do need you.
Yeah.
Our friend Blake drives for us sometimes, and he comes and, like, does teching and helps us out a lot. And he saved us during that big ice storm. We were supposed to head to Springfield to play with our friends in Troy. We got, like, 30 minutes out, turned around to try and come back. It took us almost 2.5 hours to come back 30 minutes. And, like, people were in the ditch and sliding off the road, and somehow he got us up onto, like, the shoulder to where we could get a little bit of traction just to make it past where it was off. Like, we were going around, like, cars that should have easily been able to conquer this. They were flying off the road, and we somehow made it around all of them. Thanks to him, like, he pretty much saved us.
We were on our way down, and it had started, like, raining or whatever, and it was like 2 hours had made it literally less than 10 miles. And we're sitting there, and we're like, well, maybe we should call him and, you know, tell him we're going to be late, whatever. Maybe we shouldn't go. This is getting bad, whatever. So we call the band we were playing with, and we're like, hey, we're going to try and make it. It's just taking us a long time. A lot of traffic's getting bad up here. And they're like, okay, we'll put you in the last slot. Just, you know, be safe and get here. As soon as I hang up the phone, we go to stop, and the whole van just starts turning sideways, and there's cars, like, sliding off. And so we're like, okay, we're not going to make it tonight. We appreciate it.
We're not going to make it.
No.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you guys got this brand new record out. We haven't really got to play a lot of the tunes on this show, but I've been talking about it a lot with everybody else, but this record is easily probably my favorite record of the year last year. Like, I really love what you guys did with it.
Thank you so much.
From the EP, from the EP to the full length. I mean, like, man, I was like just blown away when I put it in and gave it a listen. Like, you know, the lyrics and just the overall production of it all, and the hearing Addison singing and everything. I mean, just like the record really came together nicely. So if you don't have your copy of The Awakening, go get yourself one today.
Yep.
All your digital platforms, physical copies, everything's. Do you have the on the store at the website?
Yeah, just go to www.discrepanciesmusic.com. You can do. That gives you a link to our iTunes, Spotify, Facebook. Everything can be accessed today.
iHeartRadio too. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're on iHeart and we're on Pandora. I found that yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. So we're on all those. The website itself is like a central hub for everything. It'll pretty much link you to everything. It also has its own merch store where you can download the album and you can order a physical copy. We'll ship it to you. The shipping's pretty cheap.
And you guys got always crushing it on merch too, like all the new shirts and stuff. You got you guys always got new merch coming out, and it's always fun to see. What's the new one with the like the
current line of Air Gert?
Yeah.
Air Gert.
So
yeah, that was awesome. It was Steve Money got that picture of me jumping in the air, which was really cool. And then Josh Hodge did a little edit of it. And right after he posted it, like his little edit, Steve was like, dude, we should put air on that and put that on a t-shirt.
And Garrett immediately said, this is a dumb idea.
Yeah, so that I did. Because every time Steve offers an idea, 20 times out of 10, it's an awful idea.
Ideas are like diamonds in the rough. Sometimes you just gotta, you know, gotta make it through a lot of the bad. But at the end, the treasure's worth it.
Like, one of the first few practices we had, and you were like, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? And it was like, doo 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 doo. It was like, that's Phil Collins.
Like, you just lost your vote for the next three meetings.
That's fair. That's very fair.
One of the most iconic drum.
Right.
It really worked for him, though, guys.
I'm going to put your idea right here on the fridge for you.
Next time, try and stay in the lines.
Right.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Not Alone is one that really stands out to me. It's one of my favorites to sing along to. You guys want to talk about that track at all?
Addison, actually, that's kind of Addison's baby more than anything.
Yeah.
Addison kind of... So the way we kind of write, and I think we've talked about this on a previous podcast, but like Addison and I just kind of sit in a room and basically give each other as much negative feedback as possible until we...
There's a lot of hate. A lot of love.
No, honestly. For real. No, that's true. Like, we'll both come in with a bunch of ideas and tell each other how awful each other are.
That's why he asked me. I think he brought it to me first, if I'm not mistaken or not. I remember him coming over to my apartment.
That song like, in particular.
Yeah, he was like, I'm not showing this to Garrett yet. Exactly.
I said, Garrett's going to shit on this idea, and I know what it can be. Right. So I'm going to show it to Antonio.
And all I heard was, doop, 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 doop. And I was like, it's a fucking hit. I like it.
Right.
I had the like the high part that you hear at the beginning and the chord structure.
Yeah.
And then we developed I came up with like some sort of melody chorus, but the words were shit. And then Antonio rewrote the words, and it made a real chorus.
Yeah,
and then he filled in the rest with the real song. So
I like that song.
That song came together really well.
was one of those songs, like, Addison came in, and when he tracked, like, he literally tracked, like, the intro into the verse, and we were just like, this is going to be a cool song. Like, yeah, right when we were tracking, I was like, this is going to be dope.
Yeah.
So.
So you guys, I mean, you guys can feel it right then, like, that this is going to be something?
Like, there, there are some songs. Like, Art of War is another one that's been pretty successful online. Mm-hmm. Like, on Spotify, it's pretty big, and on YouTube, it's been pretty huge, but, like, that song is, like, the first song we wrote for this record, and it probably went through, like, 50 revisions.
Well, look, at least, we wrote, like, that was the sixth song this band has ever wrote, because we wrote that immediately following the EP.
Yeah.
So, Art of War had been played live for a year in different variations before it actually was recorded.
The funniest part is now. Yeah, like, and that's true. Like, the funniest part is, like, if you heard that song when we first played it live versus the way you hear it on the record, or even if you went to every show in between, you heard that song so many different ways because that song was consistently changed over and over and over and over and over again.
Even when I was trying to learn the songs and you guys came over that first time, like, okay, well, there's this one part, and that part was so awesome, but it ended up getting changed out.
For Art of War?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It had the, like, da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Did it have a pause or something?
Right. Yeah, what are you talking about?
There was a pause. There was like the
intro was nearly four times as long as it used to is now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, we did a pause like that in another song. We can't do that.
Last time. Yeah, that's why we ended up. Well, we ended up cutting it for that reason and because as soon as we tracked the intro, Matt goes, why is this so long? We're like, all right, good point.
So we had like a 2-minute intro before this any vocals came in.
That's so we got to Art of War. We were talking about too. We wanted to play it for you guys, so this one that you feel that's probably the biggest difference. That one's you seen the most revisions. You said since the original idea to the record,
probably Art of War. Yeah,
because that's always, you know, I talk about it a lot, but it's always one of the things that fascinates me on how, like, kind of the evolution of a song, you know, as the different variations of it until it finds the record and becomes what it is.
The thing that, like, I love about this project more than any project I've ever been a part of is that, like, we're all, like, good friends with each other, and I think everybody respects each other's talents equally. So, like, coming into the studio or even, like, pre-production, because I have a Pro Tools rig set up at home, like, it just makes it so easy because with riffs, and then we'll send it to Antonio, and Antonio will be like, I'm just not feeling it. Like, and then we'll talk to him and be like, well, what do you feel and what do you want to change? And we'll kind of adapt to that. And then he'll bring us lyrics, and then we'll be like, yeah, no, we don't really feel that. And then, like, he kind of, it's like I know Antonio 100 times out of 100 times will always write the better lyrics than I will. But, like, I also know that, like, sometimes he can do better, you know what I mean? And it's the same thing for me. Like, he'll like hear something, he'll be like, you guys can do better than that, you know what I mean? And I think that's something about this project that, like, really makes the writing process super easy is, right. Like, we write something and, like, you feel good about it, but, like, as soon as somebody's like, you can do better than that, you, like, listen back to it, you're like, yeah, they're right, I can do better than that.
Right.
And it makes it a lot easier. So.
Sure. I mean, yeah, I think that's got to be a pretty important part of it as a band and everything could be, and, you know, to set your ego aside and take that criticism and be like, yeah, you're right, instead of getting pissed off and be like, you know, look, this is the best or whatever. You
right.
Know.
Right.
So. I mean, at the end of the day, we handle everything pretty democratically, but we know who's stronger at certain things. You know, it's obvious. And it'll be nice now when it comes this time to write again, because now we've got another element in the band with Steve and, you know, another person to bounce ideas off of. So
we got a Diddy drum now.
A fresh
Diddy drum.
Yeah.
You want to tell the story about Diddy drum? You want to tell the bankruptcy debt that is?
Okay. anyway.
Should we start with the Little Mermaid or?
No.
Just the drum set?
Anyway, everybody knows I play SJC drums and they're my favorite.
Is that plug?
Ever. SJC drums.
DW? You say DW?
Yeah, the hardware's great. Anyway. I follow them on Snapchat and they do like sneak peeks of drums that they're going to hit their online store before they actually go up. Well, I think it was New Year's Eve, I was sitting at home and going through Snapchat, and I saw this little drum, and they were hitting it, and I was like, "Wow, he's pretty awesome." I got the link to the online store. They put it up real quick, and I bought it. I knew it was a used drum. That's all I knew about it, and I wanted it. Well, the next day, when it shipped, one of the sales rep I usually deal with through them was like, "Hey, do you know where that drum came from?" And I was like, "No, I just thought it was cool and I wanted it." And he's like, "Oh, that was P. Diddy's drummer's, and he sent it back to us, and you bought it." And I was like, "Okay." So I immediately told them. Next practice, they all called me stupid.
We didn't call him stupid because he bought P. Diddy's drum. We called him stupid because he went deeply in debt to buy P. Diddy's drum.
No, no. You were mad because it was $500. And you're like...
And then what was it like 2 weeks ago? You're like, "I almost had to sell the Diddy drum because I couldn't get gas." I couldn't get gas to get...
I was like, "You spent $500 on these things. It was Diddy's drum. Like, you didn't even know that when you bought it." That was Diddy's drum.
Anyway, so that's... I now have Diddy snare.
It's tight though. I like the Diddy snare.
It is a tight snare because it's a pickle snare.
Even though we couldn't fit it in the vans.
Yeah. It still has not made a show yet.
The finals.
It made it to the finals.
Yeah, Addison. Worry about your PRS's.
POS.
Oh, wait, hold on.
It's too
late. Oh, it's too late. It's
You better hope you never get a DJing job.
It keeps closing the app. It's not my fault.
You gotta refresh that page, man.
I wanted to kind of talk about, but I mean, obviously, you can see you guys are getting along just fine, but. You know, how has it been adding Steve to the mix?
And, terrible.
You
know,
yeah. Horrible.
Worst ideas I've ever heard.
You know, I'm actually quitting music now. I'm going to do slam poetry.
No, it's actually great. When we were recording this record, I struggled a lot in the studio because my thing is, like, when we do the pre-production, right, I can't set up a drum set in my apartment. I got neighbors. So, like... I program a lot of stuff in the program and Pro Tools first, and then I go learn it so that we can go record it in the studio. And, like, recording drums for this record was really difficult. And when it came time for Steve to, like, step up, I remember at the end of the recording process, Matt was like, "How are you going to do this live? Like this is really hard." And I was like, "I don't know." And he goes, "Well, good thing Fat Beats just quit Soundtrap because you got a new drummer." So we basically reached out to Steve, and he joined... Pretty much instantly, we were on a road trip. We were doing a 3-piece trip.
Oh yeah.
Because Danny couldn't make it.
Noesis.
Yeah, with Noesis, we were on like a 3-day run with them or something like that, and we sent all the files to Steve while we were driving to like Wichita. That was the first time we went to Wichita. We played outside. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, we sent all the files to Steve, and he picked it up a lot faster than I was able to, and. Yeah, from there, it's just kind of been a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah. I'm going to rat you out real quick for that one conversation. So while I was learning them, it was Art of War. The verse parts, I was like, I cannot get this down. Like, it was bugging me because I had learned everything else was all right. It was hard. This was by far the hardest music I've ever had to learn. But I got to that part, I could not get it down. So I messaged Garrett, and I was like, "Hey, dude, learning the songs, everything's going all right. Do you think you can come by my house next sometime this week and show me that part so I can learn?" He goes, "Well, I don't really know how to play it." I'm like, "Okay, so I'm flying blind here. Perfect."
I was like, "What you hear is what you get." I remember, like, going right before we went in to record that record. We were at a different practice space at the time. We were there for like 5 and 6 hours. So like 2 and 3 in the morning. We were in like this industrial area, like this warehouse, just so I could like get the drums down. Like it was a lot of learning, huge learning curve compared to the EP. Because in the EP, it was like I did all the pre-production with a room mic like you do this. Mm-hmm. And
I just like taped it to the ceiling basically, and did everything live. So like I had to learn it, but this time around, since I lived in an apartment, I had to do everything through the program. So it was a lot, huge learning curve.
Yeah.
In comparison.
I mean, I love Danny and all, but I feel like this lineup, like watching you guys four now, like, I mean, it's just like, feels so good that to see you guys up there together, you know, just,
it definitely does.
And then, also part of that time when Garrett moved to bass, like, I didn't know you played bass either, like, I only knew you as a drummer at the mm-hmm. time. So, like, that was kind of a weird transition to see, you know, you come up front and play bass and Steve come into drums and then Addison starts singing and everything else. And it was like, it was just totally flipped everything I thought was discrepancies and like to something different. But if, like, again, when you see all the pieces come together, it's like, man, this is a nice fit right here. So,
yeah.
Right. So, like I said, I was happy this all worked out.
Lemonade.
Yeah. But yeah, we got one more track we wanted to throw in here for you called Raising the Bar, which you have an official music video for this song, as well as Prevail and Wake Up and Digitus Medius
yep.
up on your YouTube channel. So go ahead and subscribe there and keep up. But yeah, the Raising the Bar was shot at the release party, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was shot by Freddie D. Few people there helping. I think Chelsea, who's been doing a lot of the Ashlands videos, she was a part of that as well.
And then the other two that you're mentioning, the Raising the Bar and Prevail Wake Up, were shot by Juan.
Not.
My bad.
Digitus Media.
Digitus Media.
Yeah.
And Prevail Wake Up were Juan Ibanez. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, like, again, his name's come up on several of these recently. And
yeah, man, he's killing it.
Yeah, man. Just every time he crushes it, you know, just. It's a lot of fun.
You fight, Steve?
No.
We're cool. We're good.
But,
Juan is killing it. I remember we did a photo shoot not long after we did that video. Why are you laughing?
All I'm thinking about is that damn Digitus Medius video, and we filmed it in the back of an 18-wheeler, and it was like 150 degrees.
That was hot.
Not only was it hot outside, it was like 90 outside. Mm-hmm. We were in a truck, or like a back of an 18-wheeler, and Juan has these oven lamp lights he had to use right behind me the whole time. Oh, it was terrible.
Roasting Steve's ass back there.
For like 8 hours straight.
I remember
after
we did that video or the second video, maybe we did our photo shoot with Jonathan Walters.
Oh yeah.
And I remember we were all like, you know, that video turned out pretty good. You know, I wonder what other people think. And when we were talking to Jonathan, he was basically said that like he thought that we filmed that with like a whole film team,
like a legitimate
crew came out and
that
like
video.
Had like an on set filming and stuff like that. And like that's after we did that, we were like, yeah, Juan. Definitely killed that video. It made us feel really good. Like, to have that perspective from somebody else who knows so much about it.
Yeah, man.
It felt really good. So.
Yeah. Well, again, like I said, you guys want to talk about Raising the Bar? How this track came to be? And any stories around that?
I wrote it.
Yeah.
This one, I think.
Raising the Bar. What can I say about that one?
Did I write most of this one? I don't remember how this
You wrote the breakdown.
I wrote the breakdown. I think I wrote the verses too because you wrote the original riff. The original riff Addison wrote was a lot more complex than what it ended up being. Addison basically wrote like the intro and stuff like that and made it a lot of like weird chords and then changed it to what it became. And when we went in and recorded it, we recorded it both ways with Matt, and Matt basically said the way it is now was the easier to digest way, basically. For lack of a better word.
I like to make things harder on myself than probably need to be for guitar. So.
Yeah, the original riff itself was really, really complicated. It still had, like, some of the groove, but it was, like, so complicated that, like, something like that was, like, the chords were getting kind of weird or, like, fighting each other almost. And so he was like, you know, maybe we should just stick simple. Simple sometimes is just better. And so to make up for it, like, you still do some weird chords in there in different places and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, the verse still kept a little bit of what I wanted, but it ultimately bettered the song. You know, that's, you know, a tip to Amelon there, that the end product benefited from his production. And him, you know, providing insight on, hey, this is actually going to breathe a little better and groove a little harder if you just...
Because I've listened to this the other day. I've found some old files on my phone of like lyrics that I wrote that didn't get approved. Yeah, like, I was like, dang, this wasn't too bad, but yeah, definitely glad we changed this up. Like, but I was listening to that the other day, and then I started thinking about how you know, I started writing the verse for this. I just wanted to pay respect to Repertoire, basically. And like in Repertoire on the EP, I say, "We'll make history when we raise the bar."
Right.
So, you know, in our own little way, I feel like we're making history with the full length and trying to, you know what I mean? Sure. And steady striving to. So I wanted to incorporate that somehow without being like, yeah, like, look, we're killing shit. You know what I'm saying?
We're killing it.
Right. But yeah, I definitely wanted to pay respect to that and just bring a little bit of the EP to the full length.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of like
you got a lot of hidden Inception and stuff like that, I feel like, throughout the album, where you like pay homage to different
songs. Oh, definitely.
I feel like every time I listen to the record, I find like one more. Like, yeah, oh, that's from that.
That's what I hate about Antonio. He's writing lyrics, but he's really writing like hieroglyphics. Right. You're just confused.
The more you listen to it, the more you get brainwashed.
It'll be like 10 years from now, I'm like, this came from this, or this is from this. Yeah. Didn't even know that, did you?
It's like the Disney movies, and you can't connect them all together.
Nice.
There's I always think of like Dr. Dre when he says so just chill till the next episode.
Oh yeah.
And then they put out the next episode, and I was like, so are we supposed to stop chilling now?
Right. Hey, damn, gotta go back to work. He's like getting out of the basement. Fuck. But yeah, man.
Yeah, that that was like we had mentioned earlier. I felt like the lyrics really stepped up. I mean, with your writing and stuff, and I felt there was a lot of positivity and a lot of kind of motivational stuff in here. And like, so I felt it was quite inspirational. You know, was that kind of a conscious thing, or is just something your writing just kind of took that turn?
I think just with growing as an artist, like, trying to step away from certain things, and then I have a son now, so I'm like, right, I gotta take into consideration that he's gonna be there. It was funny in that video, I say, hey, there's gonna be a lot of cussing tonight, you know what I'm saying? Like, say, do what I say and not as I do. But honestly, and then I look back at the video, I was like, I didn't cuss in that song at all.
Sure.
I didn't even think about that. And I say that in the beginning of the video, but
yeah.
My our friend Blake Garrett was talking about earlier, his cousin came back to town, he's in the military. And he loves all of him. Or sorry, him. Him and his buddies in the military. They love our record, especially that song. So he's like, you know, I think he works on like, you know, huge machinery or whatever. And he's like, you know, when we have a bad day or whatever, we just turn on Raising the Bar and we get shit done or whatever. I was like, oh man, that's pretty
dope.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's dope.
It definitely is one of those records that gets you fired up, man. Like it's a there's a lot on this album that I, you know, I could see turning it up and getting some shit done. I can understand that for sure. So
it can be kind of like a workout song. Yeah. I mean, it's really like, because I kind of, it was a little bit of a play on words about raising the bar. Like, right, you know what I mean? Like doing weights or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
That was, I think it all kind of come full circle with the record. I think like between the release party and the Road to Point Fest show and everything, but I feel like you guys have totally amped up your stage show too. Like, I mean, like everything that watching you guys, you know, like there's you guys, there's a couple parts where you guys like broke it down a little bit where you guys kind of sit there and for a second and then you got to come back into it and talk kind of and like, I don't know, just all those little things that you guys are putting into like making it a full show, you know, and it's like between lights and everything else too, it just it's been a lot of fun to watch the stage show take off too, and like
because thank you. Nervous as shit before every single set. Yeah. Probably not as nervous as Steve though. Steve Steve like freaks out before every show. Why? Oh no, Garrett freaks out before like all day.
I only freak out because everybody in this band's late.
He's not wrong.
One time Antonio didn't make sound check. He walked on stage just to perform.
What?
So
see, I was there earlier in the day, and then I had to run home and do something, and that's soundcheck. When they wanted to do the sound check. But
I will admit, I'm probably the worst if something A goes wrong or B somebody's late.
Yes.
So that those are when I'm bad. But if those two things don't go wrong, I'm chill. That doesn't bother me. I don't get like stage fright, really. You know what I mean?
Sure. I freak out about equipment. I don't like performing. Doesn't
Steve breaks something before each show?
He can never remember how to work his.
It's usually okay. That's also very fair. I'm worried about equipment every time, and if it doesn't get set up or work the first time, I just panic.
Yeah.
Usually Garrett has to come fix it.
Yeah.
Why is this not working? You only have one plug. Is that was at Huzal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, like, I was still new to the in-ear thing, and I'm still pretty new. We're sitting here trying to set up on stage, and like none of my power is coming on, which means like the click track and all that is non-existent. So I'm freaking out, and I'm like, why is this not coming on? Well, Blake walks over, and apparently I'd only put one prong of the extension cord in the power outlet, which kind of causes some issues.
I couldn't believe it, man. Oh my God, I got a good chuckle out of that.
Yeah, that stage was one of the coolest ones I think we played on.
Yeah, that was fun.
Not necessarily huge, but it like the stepping rises. We got to go down and up. I thought that was really rad. Yeah.
Except for the guy who was like standing right in the front and trying to get me to drink liquor out of his gas can. Oh, like the whole time
he had a nipple piercing with a feather hanging off.
That sounds like somebody you should trust.
That dude, crazy night. I was not drinking out of that thing.
If he hands you anything, you should take it.
All right, oh, man. All right. Here's the question: would you rather drink out of that or get hit in the face again at Barnfest?
Oh, I was just thinking about that.
Side story.
I'm not drinking nothing else. I'm not doing Barnfest no more.
We played Barnfest, and it was actually really dope. We played on like really late in the night on the day.
On somebody's porch.
On somebody's like back porch. It was dope though. We got people so stoked. People were like going crazy. People were literally jumping off the roof, and climbing the roof.
Hanging from the roof.
And hanging like from the ceiling. Yeah, like swinging off of that. Well, somebody jumped and swung off of like the rafters and kicked Antonio's mic into his mouth and like chipped his tooth. It was absolute madness.
Yeah. I will admit, I was very skeptical. Mainly by like the hooded creatures walking around just burning candles and making noise.
Right.
But it turned out really well.
Yeah, I was confused.
It was a lot of fun.
I tried to split the crowd to like make like one half of the crowd, you know, yell and then make the other half of the crowd yell. Just kind of do like a back and forth crowd participation kind of thing. But what I ended up doing was splitting the crowd, and then when we came back in, they just ran into each other.
He accidentally created a wall of death.
I was like, no, wait, what's going on?
I never even thought about that. Have you even seen a wall of death before?
I have. But like that's like huge events. Like you know what I mean? Like we're on somebody's front porch. It was like 10 people over here and 12 people over there.
Grand finals. Antonio's making it happen again.
Yeah. No.
Be there. April 28th. See a wall of death.
Antonio's sitting there preaching about love and peace. And
now everybody and kill like, each other.
Everybody join in with me, right? And then all they hear is kill.
I did want to get the last Road to Point Fest show. I did want to get a little more rowdy with you guys in the pit, but there was a lot of young girls in the front there,
and I felt bad.
Knock them down.
Hey, man, make your room.
Yeah.
Most of those girls were probably people we know and our friends. Yeah. Hit them.
They're all there for us.
They'll probably hit you back.
That's like, they probably would. It's like the crew of people that I sell tickets to that are right there.
They'll fight their way out. They'll be okay.
Right.
Only the strong survive.
Well, I was talking about the stage show. Is that something you guys work on together as a band, or is there like, do you guys have any like outside help, or how do you decide these ideas and hope they work and all that? How's that come together?
Goofing around,
yeah.
A lot of it is goofing around. Like
every week we try to have one practice and one meeting. The practice we try to focus on the weakest songs, and then about 2 to 3 weeks out, we work on, like, not necessarily choreography, because I feel like we already kind of blend naturally, you know what I mean? Like, we all kind of know what the other person likes to do and the positions that they like to play and stuff like that. But, like, we do work on, like, transitions, making sure... Steve's a child.
A couple weeks out, we try to make sure that it's not just playing, you know, 30, 40 an hour worth of material, that it's actually... creates a show.
Yeah.
The one I think it really stood out to for me was the Homies Halloween Bash when you guys did the the Purge mask kind of thing.
Yeah, that was so much fun. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was dope. And that was probably one of my favorite shows we've played.
My fiance actually came up with the Purge idea.
We had, it was kind of the Purge, but he also had like the Dark Knight thing where you had Dub Flow on the stage the whole time and with the mask on his head, or the bag on his head.
Yeah.
Which I thought like that was a lot of fun, though, as you know, he revealed himself and jumped up and rapped with you guys. And
yeah,
We had him like tied to a chair, and I remember when he first got there, he was wearing this mask, and underneath the mask, he had the mask painted on his face.
Yeah.
And it freaked me out because I couldn't tell if he was ever wearing the mask or not wearing the mask. And even during the show, he like threw his mask out, but his face is painted like the mask. So I'm like, what is going on right now? I'm so confused. Yeah, it was crazy.
That was a good time, man.
Yeah.
Enjoyed having
it. I think when you were talking about the stage show and like how you come up with it or whatever, I think our main goal is like, any band can, you know, go and rehearse their songs and get them down 100% and go play them live. But at that point, people are just coming to listen to your CD at that point. So I think we try and make it like an actual production show.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's what it
is. Even at like the finals, like, and like every time we do get hype right now, we add like an extra bridge space. Like the last time, Antonio started rapping Fresh Prince, and that just happened at practice. He was goofing off and he was making a joke out of it, and they were like, this is actually kind of cool, let's try and like make that work. So we like kind of practiced it a little bit,
right,
and you know, working out really well. So we just kind of played with it, and I thought it went over pretty well at the finals. And
yeah. You guys threw in some biscuit too, didn't you, Ray?
Oh yeah. I don't know who influenced that
one. I'm not sure who that would have been, but that was fun too.
Yeah,
it's always a good time to hear those songs. I mean, as much as people sing along to your originals right now, but I mean, like, you throw in something they all know the words to, it gets them even more amped up, it seems like. And
it's especially cool for like, because like Antonio said, there was like almost or over 600 people there, and those people that are there for like, I don't know, Nothing Set in Stone and Skyline of Ruins and Monsters that have never seen us or even heard us, it makes it easier for them to feel involved. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if people are, like, really enjoying the songs, but they don't know the songs, and then you play a song that they know, then they're like, oh, this is dope, these guys are great, blah, blah, blah. That's, like, the one reason we like to try and keep, like, a cover set, or a cover song thrown into the set here and there.
Yeah. But. I did throw your guys' picture online and ask the fans to submit some questions. And we got a bunch of silly ones, but got a couple in here.
Across which status? There's like 10 statuses. Yeah.
My buddy, who has become a huge fan, Chris Bouillon.
Yeah.
Which,
Chris is awesome.
Yeah,
Chris
he's a good dude, man.
He played with us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was the Ready Room?
Yeah, with the wrestling show.
Yeah. He asked, will you be playing any new music at the next Battle at Pops?
We'll be playing a song that we have not performed live yet from the record.
We'll be playing two songs we haven't performed. Right?
I think so. No, one of them we did. One we did once. But
only one time.
It hasn't been since our CD release show.
Oh.
And now they're going to figure that out. No, I'm just kidding.
People will be like, when was it?
If you can scroll for hours back and find...
Right.
But no. Yeah.
Okay,
technically one and a half, I guess.
Yeah.
So. We're definitely going to bring something different to the table.
Yeah, we're going to play Get Hype for 30 minutes straight.
Each time in a different language.
Yes. Right.
That would be I would be impressed if you could do that.
Like, no.
Everybody take a language.
Everybody take a language.
Is there new music on the way for 2017, or what's...
We're working on a project right now that might come out in 2017. We're honestly hoping to release it, like, mid this year. It's going to be, like... it's hard. It's like I'm trying to tiptoe the topic.
Yeah, right.
What I can and can't say. It's going to be kind of new music. It's... kind of not.
Yeah. Hopefully you like it.
Yeah.
It's
going to be dope. Right. That's all.
It's like really dope project.
It's going to be fire. It's a mixtape.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Nelly's on it.
Nelly's on it. It's going to be Eminem, Ja Rule.
Right.
I don't know why I went from Eminem to Ja Rule.
Going back up to
DMX.
Right. DMX. It's going to be sick, man.
Are you a Nelly? I always think that's what... him and J-Lo, that...
Oh, yeah.
With my motherfucking nerve!
Yeah, that was good, man. Yeah. That was a good impression.
Also, my Ja Rule impression includes... Monica! let's see.
You can ask the funny, the silly ones.
Yeah.
We'll throw them at you.
Yeah.
Stephen Harris writes in, who shares the other twin hotel bed with Fat Beats?
What's a hotel?
Yeah, we don't say hotels.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, but what? Okay, you know, we haven't since Steve's in the band.
Now, actually, you're wrong. Me and Garrett shared the bed in Wisconsin.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
That wasn't a hotel.
It was an apartment, which is the closest thing we've done.
That's true, because when did you get the couch?
Addison got the couch.
Antonio got his own bed.
Antonio,
I had my own bed.
He had his own bed because he passed out at 7:30 at night.
Bro.
Yeah, we did. We like got off stage. The show's not even over. And
people
he's passed out.
Yeah, people weren't even done clapping for the last song. And Antonio passed out there.
It was a long night.
We stayed up drinking with the Australians, which was a blast.
Yeah, that was funny. I was trying to speak Canadian while they were trying to speak Australian.
We kept saying A, and so confused.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kept hearing stuff about dicks out in Harambe.
Oh, yeah. I wanted the Australian guys to say dicks out for Harambe.
Did you get a video of that happening?
Yeah, but all I got was dicks out for Ombre. You couldn't say Harambe.
That was one of the first times. That next morning was one of the first times I think I've ever been hungover. And I walked, was a half a mile over to McDonald's. Like, none of their machines worked, so I basically got, like, a cup of coffee and a soggy-ass round. I'm like, it's awful.
The fries are on, but here's a microwave. You might need a spoon for that.
Tim writes in and asked about the intro from the record. Is that from an old movie or something?
Actually, that's from a psychologist who passed away. I wish I could remember his name right now. Alan something.
Iverson.
No.
Alan
something. I'm sure you could Google Alan something psychologist. He actually just passed away, like, late 90s, but, like, he was famous for, like, kind of developing the concept of, like, lucid dreaming and, like, realizing that people could, like, be conscious while they were dreaming and waking up to it and, like, confusing reality with their dreams and stuff like that. So he was basically, like, famous for, like, really recognizing those kinds of things and talking about that. And, like, when we decided to make the album, the title track, the name of the title track, it just made sense. And so we pulled one of his speeches and made a little track behind it. Yeah.
Right on. Let's see. Brian writes in, my only question is, if Steve and Antonio were a tag team, what would their name be? Because the photo makes the two of them look like they are a dominating presence.
Now, I want to say, I recommended Cookies and Cream.
And I'll stand behind it.
I'm not mad about it.
Right. I like it.
Did you have a backup name?
Cookies and Cookies and Cream. Oh my god! That sucks. It's carnage.
Fat Beats is on the top row. Hide the children.
Oh my god! Cookies and Cream.
Speaking of wrestling, and with that wrestling show. Beforehand, they had the ring set up before we were loading in.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to say I got to chokeslam Addison, and it's on our Facebook. That's probably the coolest thing I've done in my entire life.
Yeah, getting to jump around in a wrestling ring while playing was pretty, I gotta admit, that was that was one of the coolest shows I've ever played.
Yeah, I was stuck in my drums. Thanks for rubbing that in. Yeah,
it was cool.
You could have played bass.
I guess.
Nobody would have played drums, but you could have played bass.
Yeah. Next question. Put it in the tracks.
Johnny Axton writes in, why don't I believe you?
Because he doesn't believe anybody.
Apparently.
No faith.
That's a good one. Yeah.
He don't. He
needs to keep hope alive.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's disgusting.
He needs to keep hope alive.
Hey, you should let him know he's not alone.
Yeah.
And, let's see, we got, uh, what was Jonathan, your photographer you mentioned. He writes in, when is Addison's vinyl country album shipping?
Oh,
you know, we talked we talked about a project that we were working on.
Yeah?
Right.
That's true. Not saying that is it.
But we're not saying it's not it.
Discrepancies is rebranded.
Right.
Completely. If you like the album, you better hold on to that because it'll never be like that again. We are now country pop.
We're going to Linkin Park. We're changing our style.
I just saw a video that, like, these, I don't know if you guys caught that. Was these like teens reacting to Linkin Park?
Yeah, I saw that.
It was pretty funny. It went on too long, but it was pretty funny. Like, they were like, played the new song, and they were like, "What is this?" And then they were like, "Oh, yeah, this is good. So we like this stuff." Like, they actually recognized, you know, like, Breaking the Habit and Crawling and stuff, and then like, but yeah, it was just, it's crazy to hear that. I mean, they've been at it for 20 years now, but right. It's just like the evolution of what Linkin Park sound is.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
Should have hung it up before this one.
Yeah.
Oh my god, stop, please. I think that as artists, it's dope that like every single album they put out sounds different. Right. Like, whether like they're really like evolving or like kind of staying with the times or whatever it is they're trying to do. I think it's cool that like every record, like you can always expect a different sound from them. Like that's what I kind of like really respect, because that's what they've always wanted to do since the beginning. So like, to me, I think that's pretty respectful.
Sure. Yeah, I will give it to them. It, to put out that which is so different from anything they've done, as an artist, that's pretty ballsy. I will give it to them. It's not my favorite because when they came out, that's my favorite era of music. It's what I listen to most. So to hear them do pop, for me, it's not that awesome. But for them to say, you know what, we're going to try this after, you know, if we're going to put it out, see what it does. I mean, yeah, hats off to them for that. You know?
I'm disappointed because I feel like, I feel like Chester Bennington is like one of the best like scream singers and like such intensity and everything. He's just like such a great vocalist, and like, though his voice sounds fine on there, but it just doesn't, it's not the same effect as where, you know, Crawling or something.
Sure, like that. I agree with that.
Well, there's still a lot to the record to be.
Yeah, you know, sure. I mean, yeah, it's hard to judge.
I hope you're not partial to the rapping, because the next album, straight yodeling all the way through. You know, all the way through. You know, like, Discrepancy yodel album.
Did you pull something up?
I just wrote that question.
Well, again, grab them tickets for Pops, April 28th. Come out and get your boys' Discrepancies to Point Fest.
Please, and, yes, please come out.
Yeah.
Let us. I've never been to Point Fest.
Yeah?
Never been. I've never been to the amphitheater.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, well, I'm all around excited.
Yeah.
That shit.
But yeah, so if you win the grand finals, you open the side stage, right?
Yeah, I think we get to pick the bigger stage. I don't know how the time slot's going to work this year because it starts later in the day. So like, I don't know if they're going to try and put the locals on at the same time as the nationals. If they're going to open the doors a little earlier for the locals.
Yeah. Things are probably going to be different this year because they're splitting it across 2 days. A lot of the details are TBA.
Sure.
But the thing to know is that for us to get the best slot, we need the support April 28th.
Yeah, for sure. So come on out. Come party with us. I'll be there for sure, man. I'm excited. All my homies are going to be there that night, so
yeah,
it's going to be a good time.
We're planning a good show, so.
Pick up the album. Pick up an Air Weekly shirt.
Yeah, head over to discrepanciesmusic.com.
Yes, sir.
And you get all your information there, links to everything. And again, pick up the album, pick up shirt, hoodie, all kinds of stuff on there. So, but yeah, I appreciate you guys taking some time to hang, man. This has been a lot of fun.
Dude, thank you for having us again.
Yeah, for real.
It's cool because, like you said earlier, you know, you've seen us since very early on. So it's cool that we can have this progression.
Yeah, man. You know, for sure. Yeah, it's always kind of fun to go back and revisit sometime too in the future and you know, kind of track that evolution and stuff. Right. So yeah.
Yo, I know we're probably going over a little bit on time, but I've just been doodling this rap.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna spit it. I'm gonna spit it for you guys. You so know. If you listen to it all the way through, you get to- oh, good stuff. All right. If I mess this up, just take it on out. All right. Shane wanted an interview. I changed my plans because everybody in the loo knows Shane's the man. I'm talking Shane so fly, wish Shane would land. I'm talking sky high fly like Shane McMahon. Everybody's raising the bar. I hope that we inspired that. Garrett really wants to go far, and I admire that. Addie wants it all. There's no denying that. And Steve... Gabe, Steve just really wants his lighter back.
I still haven't gotten that. It's been months. Just,
you wanted me to say something. I don't,
Gabe, give us back his lighter.
Like, it's all good. All right. On the real, you should chill, take a Zen pill. I'm about to fly past and ask you how the wind feels. I'm going to have your whole head spinning like a windmill and crack like a 6-inch hill inside a windshield.
Oh my god.
We came through and shocked the spot. That's if the cops ask. Haters try to stop the plot, but they will not last. They can try to block the top, but we'll just fly past. Now that's how you rock the Rock Paper Podcast. Yeah. Couple subliminals in there.
Yeah, we're gonna that story's off the air.
Right.
That's on a need to know basis.
Right, yeah.
You don't need to know.
Everyone needs to know.
Message Garrett privately, he'll send you the whole story.
Right. Message Addison for questions.
Good times.
Alright. Thanks guys.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.